Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book that we love, from the book of Philippians. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Christmas is a time for many things. One theme associated with Christmas, of course, is traditions, especially family traditions. Probably remember and can smell the fresh fragrance of an evergreen tree that's in the special place in your house, or the special ornaments that are hung there on the branches. You'll think of special Christmas dishes that are going to be served at your meal. Our church usually has a candlelight service, often has a Christmas tree that's decorated right here, which is not here this year. Our community missed its annual Christmas concert for the first time in probably decades. What are some of your family traditions? Maybe at home you could turn to your kids or between those that are gathered and just name one of the Christmas traditions that you have that's special in your house. Just do it right between you right now. If we were together, I'd probably have some of you name some of them, because there'd probably be some unique traditions for us to hear from. Of course, a significant tradition of Christmas is gathering, coming together, something that's been, of course, much more difficult during these last months of the deadly coronavirus pandemic that's ravaging across the whole world. Well, one of the traditions of Christmas that comes from my Swedish heritage, it's called Julata. Does anybody know Julata? That's the getting up every early Christmas morning to attend a service at the church that starts at 6 a.m. 6 a.m. It's the tradition that's come out of Sweden from way back in the 1600s. And it's actually a tradition that some of the Maasai churches we were serving with were starting to pick up as well. The service finishes right at dawn, when the sun's coming up, and that symbolizes the new life that Christ is bringing into the world as he comes as a baby. One of the most common traditions at Christmas time is to read the Christmas story, usually from Luke or Matthew. From these passages, we remember Mary and Joseph, the angels, the shepherds, the wise men, the inn, the stable, the animals. Of course, the animals are the donkey, the cow, the goat, the sheep, and then the dove, in the rafters. And of course, in Kenya, when we were serving there and I would give this sermon at Christmas time, the sheep and the goats would be passing right by the church building. We'd see them right through the window. It kind of made a new meaning for the heritage of that vision of Christmas. And we remember the baby. We all like the new babies. And with a new grandchild that came just a few months ago in the Dahlman family, we have a pretty clear picture of a new baby in our heads right now. But today I'd like to look at the Christmas story from some of the less common perspectives. Some perspectives are a part of the story. Others we can only surmise. One perspective we do have recorded is from Mary, the teenage mother of Jesus. The version of the Bible called The Message puts Mary's response to the news of her pregnancy this way. I'm bursting with God news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. How do you characterize Mary's reaction? Astonishment, maybe? Yeah, I think so. She was pretty astonished at what was happening to her. But what about Joseph's perspective? The confusion that Joseph must have felt is expressed pretty well in this Christmas song from a few years back by Michael Card called Joseph's Song. Here's some words from that refrain. Father, show me where I fit into this plan of yours. How can a man be father to the Son of God? Lord, for all my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? How can I raise a king? Yeah, he must have been pretty bewildered, don't you think? That was a pretty incredible experience to think of what he was going to be doing. Have you ever thought about what the angels must have been thinking and feeling at the time of Christ's birth? First, we have to remember that Lucifer, Satan, was a fallen angel, the leader of the rebellion to the dark side. Not being omnipotent, Lucifer and his minions might have wondered what was going on, but of course, they soon caught on. Herod killing the innocents in Bethlehem was likely not just prompted from his own personal fear and jealousy. So what if you were Gabriel, one of God's two named angels? How would it feel to be given the job to tell Zechariah and Mary of the coming of the two special births, John the Baptist and Jesus? Maybe Gabriel thought this. Hey, finally, a plan from God to put things right after thousands of years, or a few heaven days, of these Israelite disappointments. Can you imagine the ecstasy of the angels at seeing the start of God's plan for the ages unfolding in their view on that Christmas night? Have you ever wondered how Gabriel picked the multitude of the heavenly hosts, the chorus that was to serenade the shepherds on the hillside? Being angels, I think they were also aware of the knowledge that we have that the baby was the beginning of the end when God will bring all things to himself. A song called In the First Light from a group called Glad puts it this way. Hear the angels as they're singing on the morning of his birth, but how much greater will their song be when he comes to rule the earth? Is the angels' view one that we need to keep in the Christmas season? Yeah, hang on to the end of the service after the benediction and we'll play you a clip from that song. You can hear the wonderful tonalities of a chorus of angels praising God at the new birth that ends that comes to bring the end of the age of Christ's fulfillment. So if the angels' view is a new one, have you ever thought about what it was like from Jesus' point of view? Now, first, remember that Jesus did not start his existence in Bethlehem, of course. Jesus is one person of the Trinity. He was present when the earth was made. He spoke, literally spoke, the universe into existence. John 1, 2, and 3 says, He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him was nothing made that was made. That same glad song speaks of this wonderment this way. As his mother held him closely, it was hard to understand that a baby not yet speaking was the word of God to man. Isn't that a profound verse? that the baby, not yet speaking, was the Word of God to man, the same Word that spoke the universe to existence, at the moment could not speak. Jesus is God, has always been God, was God while living on earth 2,000 years ago, and is God now. So what can we learn from the Christmas story when we look at it from God's perspective? We have a record of what Jesus thought about his Christmas story. Let's read that again from Philippians 2, verses 5 to 7. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. Instead, when the time came, and of course that time is when it came to be born as a baby, he set aside the privileges of deity. The King James says he emptied himself. He became nothing. He took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life. And Jesus then died a selfless, obedient death. When God came to earth as a human, three things happened. Jesus made himself nothing, verse 7. Jesus became a servant, also in verse 7. And Jesus humbled himself, in verse 8. To become nothing. Well, in order to become human, God had to make himself essentially nothing. Think of it. If you had created the whole world and everything that's in it, and then you become a baby in just one family, in one country of the world that you had made, you would seem pretty insignificant, wouldn't you? Essentially nothing. Another aspect of Jesus is that he made himself nothing. Jesus had the power to do anything. He was and is God, but he willingly made himself nothing to come in that form of a baby's flesh. To become a man, Jesus became nothing. Jesus could have chosen to become an earthly king, a military leader, a powerful politician, to get things done. Instead, what did Jesus become? He became a servant. Jesus became a servant. That means if there's a servant, there's a master. Jesus was a servant of who? Jesus was a servant of the will of the Father. Jesus was also the servant of all humanity that needed a Savior, us. And by becoming a servant, he was willing to take our sin to the cross. It's not easy to take the orders from someone else, but Jesus chose this way to show us a better way, the only way. Jesus became nothing. Jesus became a servant. And Jesus humbled himself. Now, humility, that's a quality of a person's character that many of us, including me, we have a hard time to gain humility. We always need more of it. And if there's one thing we learn from working internationally in a global setting is that we Americans, we sometimes have a very difficult time with this humility thing. After all, you know, America is a great nation and we've achieved great things, but meanwhile forgetting that what God is asking of us as individuals and as a community is to be his humble child, his humble servant body in this community. We need to be willing to admit our faults. We need to admit that we have a lot of pride. We need to be willing to learn from others. We need to consider others better than ourselves, as it's put elsewhere in the scripture. Yes, even someone from another country, which was our privilege, or in these days to think of learning from something and consider something somebody better than ourselves that might be even from another political party, such is the divide that we have amongst us in this nation, in this community today. Christ's humility led him to a profound obedience to the Father's will. First, consider Mary and Joseph's obedience. When things were otherwise quiet in their town, the angel came and told them they needed to go to Egypt. That would have been confusing. Why go to Egypt now? This is a small baby. But they were obedient to that angel's message. They were also obedient in raising Jesus in their home, giving him the start that he needed to become what he became. And you remember that story when Jesus was in the temple as a small boy and was at talking with the elders and the teachers in the temple courts. And yes, they were a little annoyed at the little kid who was lost in the crowd, but they were obedient to know that that's what Jesus needed to be and do at that moment. Then consider Jesus' obedience. When we return to our text in Philippians, he, Jesus, didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. Jesus was obedient to a death on the cross that he knew was going to happen even when he humbled himself to arrive as a helpless baby. Do you have Jesus' heart of obedience to God? Do you have the humble spirit of Jesus? Do you have the servant heart of Jesus? Do you have the desire of Jesus to become nothing? Reading Philippians 2:5 again. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And bring these qualities of what Jesus thought of himself coming at Christmas and apply them to your own life, to my own life. Each one of us, a doctor, a cleaner, a teacher, a student, rich and poor, a factory worker or the president, Paul says we should be like Jesus, thinking of ourselves as nothing compared to what Christ did for us, being a servant of others like Jesus was a servant to all of us, being humble in spirit like Jesus who humbled himself to become a man, though he had been the one to make man. Verse 2 says, make me truly happy. Agree wholeheartedly with each other. Love each other. And work together with one mind and purpose. This is God's word to us this Christmas season as we emerge from one of these most contentious times in our nation and community life. Come together. Love. Understand these characters of humility, of obedience. Let's remember that a baby came to a manger amidst the dove in the rafters and the cow lying in the straw. Those are the traditions we know and remember each year. But let us also remember that God abandoned heaven and chose to become a man so that we have the ability to be like him. Incredible thought. Something to become nothing so that we can become a servant to others, so that we can learn humility, so that we can become obedient to the mind of Christ. May Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth, and the one that chose to become a humble servant on earth, be the person we strive to be more like each day, and the person that we encourage each other to become each day of the year. This is the perspective of Jesus on Christmas Day. Let's pray. Lord God, I just pray that you will give us the heart of Jesus, the person who humbled himself to become a baby. Lord, that is true sacrifice, audacious sacrifice. You've given us your life that's recorded in Scripture to tell us, to show us, to give us the example of how we ought to be, how we ought to encourage one another to be, how we should be encouraging those in our community, our state, our nation to be, so that we can be something and someone that others look to and say, there's something different. Because yes, Lord, you revolutionized the way we are to be. Not through power, but through humility. Through the humility that you can give us, when we ask in your precious and powerful name, Jesus. Amen.